age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me?
Resident herbalist Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. That's what we're going to do. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Hey, Magical Engineer Frank, you ready? Oh, yes. Yes, he's all ready on the board. I'm ready. Hopefully we have a thunderstorm brewing. I hope it doesn't interfere with the broadcast. So we'll just, you know, pray that it won't. We got a great show. First part of the show, we're going to talk about a lack of sleep that may affect the brain, and there's some new research on this, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in Psalms 34. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them." Hey, I'll take it. Angel of the Lord is Lord himself. So seek his face, mind the time, his invitation. Has an expiration date, and don't squander the time. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the Quack Report, here's something interesting. More people are relying on laxatives, so much so there's a little bit of a shortage. According to some reports here, a surge in the demand for laxatives from the aging population, and now also younger consumers are also, you know, snatching up the products, creating a shortage. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report. Oh, yeah, science is at it again, Frank. They are looking for that elixir of life. You know, they are looking for a way to extend life past the due date. and they say it's on the horizon. That's right. The Holy Grail, as it were, they think is right within their fingertips. This is from some research that they were doing on moles. They said the naked mole rat, despite its lack of nice appearance, they say has a remarkable lifespan, significant resistance to age-related diseases, according to research. Researchers at the University of Rochester, New York, they say they're optimistic about using some cells from the naked mole rat to provide an anti-aging medication and extend life in society. Yeah, just, you know, solve the mystery of the Holy Grail right there. So naked mole rats are mouse-sized rodents that live up to 41 years, nearly 10 times lifespan of their cohorts, the regular mouse. They also show little to no signs of neurodegenerative diseases, cardiovascular diseases, arthritis, cancer, anything like that. So in the research, they're looking at their gene expressions of these mole rats, and they are introducing some of those genes to regular mice to enhance the health and longevity of the mice, and so far, so good, they say. So they're hoping to be able to, I guess, make naked mole rat, I don't know, Frank, some sort of longevity product. What do you think? I'm sure people will line up for it. I'll pass, thanks. No, thank you. I will pass on the mole rat, and that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, let's talk about the lack of sleep that can affect the human brain. Most people are very aware if they don't get enough sleep, they are really not as mentally sharp the next day. I've been there. You've been there, Frank. Everybody's been there. Now, scientists at the... What? What'd you say, Frank? Do we at least get to see in the dark? The moles, after all, can see in the dark. Frank, hey, focus. We're on the brain now. We're not on longevity on the mole rat. I don't know. I don't know if you could see in the dark. I don't know. It's sort of like that Prevagen they took from, you know, the jellyfish that glow in the dark. They can make anybody glow in the dark with the right, I don't know, tweak of the genetic code, but I don't want to glow in the dark. No thanks. See in the dark, maybe that'd be a possibility for, you know, the military. Getting back to the brain, scientists at the American Chemical Society set out to find out why that is that if we don't get enough sleep, we're not as sharp the next day. You know, what happens to the brain, they're asking? Is there problems with the brain if there's frequent sleep deprivation? They're asking these questions. And most adult Americans are really not getting 8 hours of sleep each night, and sleep deprivation is also affecting children. So there have been many studies throughout the decades on the effects of sleep or the lack thereof. So what does modern medicine and the military say now about how the body functions without adequate sleep? Here is a quote from a study on the effects of sleep deprivation and readiness. This is members of the U.S. Armed Forces, March 2021. This is the Secretary of State report. They said, not only does a lack of sleep make you feel awful, research has shown it impairs the brain. And they go on to tell us rates of individuals sleeping less than 7 hours per night in the military are roughly double those in civilian population. So the military gets less sleep than you and I, Frank. I guess you were in the military. Can you confirm that? Compared to, you know, I guess interns at the hospital that don't get any sleep either. Going further into their report, the study on effects of sleep deprivation, this is U.S. Armed Forces, they said inadequate sleep that negatively impacts a service member's military effectiveness, evidenced by a reduced ability to execute complex cognitive tasks, communicate effectively, quickly make appropriate decisions, maintain vigilance, and sustain a level of alertness required to carry out assigned duties. So they're measuring all that. Yes, very little sleep in the military. Frank is a confirming member of the, what branch of the military were you in, Frank? I can't remember. Frank says they train you to operate under stress. Well, that would mean no sleep. Man, if there's anything that stresses me out, it's no sleep. Army. He was in the Army and then the Navy, he said. Okay. Thank you, Frank. Well, let's look at the sleep-related conditions. So we usually don't associate not getting enough sleep with an existing medical condition and or maybe medications were prescribed. So some of the conditions that could prompt us to be up at night would be hormonal imbalances, an infection, which could be either viral, bacterial, or parasitical, anxiety or depression, that could keep you awake, metal toxicity, if you've got heavy metals, steroids and stimulants can keep you awake. You take too much caffeine, maybe. Also, if you're on attention deficit disorder medications, they tend to keep you awake, as well as hyperactivity disorder medicines. Blood pressure beta blockers can keep you awake, and your thyroid prescription meds can keep you awake. So those are just some of the things that can, you know, keep the Sandman away. Let's look at the study on effects of deprivation on readiness. The U.S. Armed Forces, another quote from them. They say sleep deprivation is a symptom of and a contributing factor to mental health disorders and physical diseases and conditions and syndromes. The presence of externally caused sleep deprivation may contribute to the development of PTSDs, post-traumatic stress disorders, depressive disorders, a risk of a traumatic brain injury, and may exacerbate symptoms and severity in established cases. So on the other hand, they said sleep deprivation can also be a sign or symptom of an underlying medical condition such as depression, the side effects of medications or substances like caffeine, or an endocrine system disorder. Sleep deprivation also increases the risk of accidents. And what else could we find? Well, researchers at the American Chemical Society. Well, this is a chemistry research facility in Washington, D.C., but it was founded in 1876 at New York University. So the society publishes peer-reviewed scientific journals related to the chemistry field and has student chapters at every major university in the United States. So the scientists went about to discover sleep deprivation causes and harms. According to that study, humans have a built-in protective protein in the brain to protect us from lack of sleep. However, the protein level can decline with repeated loss of sleep, and if that happens, we are at a higher risk of what is called degeneration of the brain neurons, and if severe enough, that can cause death. And this most likely is what prompted Michael Jackson's death, if you recall. He wasn't sleeping. So what can we expect if we have long-term sleep loss? Well, according to the researchers, we'll be at higher risk of cognitive decline conditions like Alzheimer's if we suffer from a lack of sleep for long periods of time. The research on this did get published in the September 2023 Journal of Protome Research. And what they're really saying in a lot of what I read was no sleep equals brain damage. So the scientists report that the brain becomes damaged when there is repeated lack of sleep. The area of the brain that is highly affected is the hippocampus, where learning and memory take place. And from what the report shows, there is a change made to the proteins in the RNA that receives coded instructions from DNA. So the scientists are studying this chemical pathway to determine which are affected by the lack of sleep, trying to nail it down, and also put the cells of the hippocampus, what is putting the cells of the hippocampus at risk of cell death and neurodegeneration. So they also discovered that sleep is a mechanism that protects our brain function. Therefore, conditions such as insomnia put the brain cells at risk of premature death and people at risk of dementia-type conditions. Well, let's look at some of the sleep conditions. Some of the sleep conditions, such as insomnia or maybe sleep apnea, have been shown to have a connection to the thyroid. This is research in 2007. Rutgers University had a study where they documented this link that the thyroid's hormones influence your brain neurotransmitters and help regulate your sleep cycle and your breathing during sleep. And so they're suggesting that, addressing the thyroid gland, I would say naturally addressing the thyroid gland of its imbalance can also address your sleep issue. So there's a lot to be said for sleep. I mean, you wake up refreshed. So some of the research Rutgers was doing on the thyroid will take natural iodine, convert it to iodide, and then make hormones with it. And then the solution goes out during your sleep cycle, and it bathes all the mitochondria of the cells, your little energy packs into your cells, with a solution to recharge them. So in the morning, you wake up feeling refreshed, okay? So if that's not happening, well, you're not sleeping very well, and you're not feeling refreshed the next day. And that's typically what Michael Jackson complained about. He would get sleep, a little sleep, but wasn't refreshed. He might have had a thyroid issue as well there. So, making sure your body gets the right nutrition, minerals, vitamins, amino acids, proteins is really what helps metabolically the whole thing work, the whole body work. And it can be a cascade domino effect if we let it go too long. So natural iodine for the thyroid is paramount. We don't have enough of it in our foods anymore, basically because of the way we handle and grow food. So try to eat organic. And if you need to make supplements, make sure you get enough of the natural iodine for the thyroid gland, and you'll probably sleep a whole lot better. Now, if you're going to get your thyroid checked, I just learned something from a naturopath recently. When you go to an endocrinologist, that's who you usually refer to for thyroid issues, they're going to run a thyroid panel. It's usually blood work. And I didn't know there was 9 panels that they could run, but usually endocrinologists run 1. And if you don't run all 9 of them, you're not going to get the true picture of how the thyroid's operating. What's wrong with it? So what does that say when they run 1 panel and they put a bunch of people on, artificial hormones to manage and regulate thyroid function? Maybe the people don't need to be on a bunch of medications for artificial thyroid medications for the thyroid. Maybe they need, to switch up the diet, get some different supplements going. So, and from what I see from dealing with naturopaths, that's exactly what's happening with a lot of people with thyroid disease is they're just put on the artificial hormones or armor or Synthroid. And, basically that's not helping the thyroid make hormones. That's substituting the thyroid for hormones. And usually when you have organs that aren't required to work like they should, they can atrophy. So I say investigate all your options and then make the decision that's right for you. So just keep in mind your thyroid's a big deal with when it comes to sleep. Some of the things that I like to use, after you can do those sleep teas. A lot of people, Frank, do you use those sleep teas? I find some of them work pretty well. I like to also kind of use valerian root to take tension out of the nervous system. If you know, if you're kind of uptight, you're keyed up, maybe some valerian root. I like to use lobelia to take tension out of muscles. Maybe you've got muscle tension that's, you know, affecting your sleep. So you've got some tools that you can apply. And then, of course, if you want to check out what can assist you to improving sleep and improving function of glands, help you balance them, well, there are herbs that can help with things like anxiety and depression and infection and toxins and sleep issues. So I would investigate those before I went to the prescription realm, or even the over-the-counter realm. So give Apothecary Herbs, and ask for their free product catalog, and you may want to check out their sleep apnea pack, which also assists the thyroid. So give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. International numbers 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, thepowerherbs.com if you want to check them out online. And you look at the reviews there with the products so you can see what people are saying about using their products. So thepowerherbs.com. And if you like information where you can kind of, you know, glean, you know, little tidbits of information that can help you or your family and friends, then sign up for their free online newsletters. They're absolutely free, and all you need is an email address. They're delivered by email, so you can go to thepowerherbs.com, click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up there for free. The American Survival is distributed on Tuesday, and the Health Quest on Friday. So they go, there's two of them, and they go out each week, and you can get some information you're not going to get anywhere else. Thepowerherbs.com. Take the power back. You can do it. Yes, you can, and you will not believe how powerful you'll be. Because God said herbs are here for the service of man and healing nations. These are the tools we're encouraged to use. And Hippocrates said herbs and foods are your medicine. So, right under our noses. Now, I think the big thing to remember if you're going to do the natural therapy as opposed to the prescription therapy is that the natural therapy can take weeks or months to start showing you results. But the highlight here is it's not the natural therapy is not a symptom management like the drug therapy tends to be. The natural therapy tends to be a correction, a balancing, and it takes you back to your original wellness, which is the definition of a cure. And then you don't have the problem. If you don't backslide and do the things you were doing before that created this problem, a lot of times, you know, it's our diet, then you're going to be good to go. So why be a slave to prescription drugs and high cost of medical care when you could probably fix what your problem is? It starts in the head. You got to be determined. You got to have, you know, control, and you have to be, you know, you got to be vigilant. You got to stick with it. I tell people around 3 or 4 months now. You probably, I'll give you an update, you've probably heard about my eye issue. I said I had a corneal abrasion, and actually had 3 of them. I had one in December this year, then one in March, and then one in June. And I wound up going the natural route. I needed some assistance with blood work and stuff from a naturopath, and we did a deep dive into foods because I knew when I ate certain things it made my eyes worse. So what would happen is if I ate an offending food, my eye would swell and my eyelid would rub on the cornea and create an abrasion. And if you ever had a corneal abrasion, it's very painful. So you're either in the bed with your eyes closed for a couple of days, or you're running to the eye doctor to get what they call a contact bandage on it, so you can kind of function. But not cheap. You know, you're talking hundreds of bucks every time you get one of these things. So go and I find out that corn is a problem for me, lemon, coconut, almonds, wheat, dairy. So I'm on a very restricted plan. I can eat, red meats, chicken and fish, no problem. I can eat some fruits and vegetables. and some nuts. Okay. So, and then I'm on water and herb teas, no dehydration, no caffeine, nothing like that. So I'm on this plan now, 2 months, and I feel fabulous. My eye feels great. I have no swelling going on. I'm still working on a few things. But I mean, that's powerful. And that's taken the power back, see. So you're just the lifestyle. So you may be allergic to things that is creating your problems, your arthritis, or, your digestive problems or your skin issues. So you have that power is what I'm saying. You have that power through foods, medicinals. Oh, that's what God's trying to tell us. Herbs are here for the service of man and healing the nation. So foods and medicinal herbs are my choice. And I think you should investigate it to see if it's your choice. All right. So we got a few minutes. Well, I got a couple minutes before we got to go to the first break, but we're coming up really fast to the flu season. And if we learned anything from the COVID experience, we learned that zinc's real important. Now, zinc is an element and a mineral that the immune system has to have. And it really is essential to have adequate minerals with regard to infections, especially viral infections. So one thing you don't want to be without, especially during cold and flu seasons, is your zinc. And most people know that zinc is important for your immune system function. It's also important for things like healthy nails to help wounds heal fast. It's also needed if you're pregnant, and it improves virility and helps our senses. Now, this is why people that had that COVID and they lost sense of taste and smell, well, they're chronically low in zinc. That was textbook, medical textbook thing right there. No, hardly any zinc, that'll do it. So how do you know if you're getting enough zinc? That's a good question. Zinc was first used as a metallic alloy. The ancient writings, they used it in ointments, and they had been using it in makeup even to protect them from infections. Frank's got a question. Does zinc need to be balanced with, like, calcium? Well, that's a good question, Frank. That's why I'm a big proponent for things that have balanced chemistry in them. So you don't have to guess like labs do when they have isolated supplements. And then you can get your things really out of balance if you're taking too much of this or too much of that because you're based on a milligram dose a lab thinks you need. And chemistry-wise, in your plant-based minerals, you're going to get that, balance in the alkaloids and minerals so the body can absorb just what it wants and what it needs. So we'll get more into that on the other side of this break. We'll be right back with more.
Brought up all the coconut, he bought it for the time. His sister had another one, she baited for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called a doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, Jubilee is belly ache. I said, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, can't believe this belly aches. Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowled up. Put the lime.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep.
Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balanced chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. All right, thanks, Frank. Bouncy music. That's what I love about you. All right, we're going to look at this zinc history here a little bit. The ancients wrote about zinc 2,500 years ago, and zinc. How did it get its name? Well, it's believed a German alchemist, Paracelsus, named the mineral during a medieval period in his book called Liber Mineralum III. He wrote about the crystal form with a needle-like structure, and he called it zincum zincon. So either zincum or zincon. So over the centuries, zinc has been called Indian tin, camelamine, and spinter. It has also believed to be the first use of zinc for medicinal use was between 13th and the 16th century, where it was mentioned in the ancient Arabic text called Shakara Samhita. Now, China discovered zinc in the 1700s, and Europe did not use zinc until the 1800s when they imported it from China. And during the early discovery of zinc, it was known as an expensive metal because of how it was mined. So in 1746, a German chemist, Andreas Margaux, he developed an extraction of zinc by heating it with carbon. So the largest zinc mine in the world is called Red Dog Mine. It's located in Alaska. And over the centuries, the study of zinc shows it is a unique metal. It's used to remove impurities from water. It's also used in your cosmetics. It's used to coat steel to prevent corrosion, and it's a key alloy in making brass. So without zinc, your cell phone would not work because zinc is in the batteries. Well, what happens when you get low zinc? What happens to the human body? Well, are there really any signs that you may notice? Well, usually one of the first signs is that you take longer to heal if you get injured. Your cuts and your bruises and things and even infections take longer to heal. You may even have a loss of appetite and nothing seems to appeal to you. Your smell mechanism may be off as well, so zinc deficiencies affect the human senses. So if the mineral is not replenished, the next stage is a loss of energy and you feel very lethargic. Now, mental health issues can also manifest here. So the arteries of the body can harden without zinc, skin rashes can appear, and your hair loss can materialize. So if children suffer from a zinc depletion, they'll stunt their growth and delay the onset of puberty. And pregnant women who are low in zinc risk damaging the fetus because zinc is used in the cell division and growth and development of a baby. Now, certain medical conditions can also put people at a greater risk of zinc getting too low, such as patients that have sickle cell anemia, for instance. Now, red blood cells are supposed to be rich with zinc, and without it, the cells tend to break apart. So when this happens, what little zinc there is will leave the body through the urine. So let's look at a zinc depletion. So if we find the most zinc deficient people are those who are relying on grains as a zinc source. Whole grains do have zinc binding substances called phthalates, which attach to zinc and block the absorption of zinc. So if you're eating too much grain, you're going to be lower in zinc. What else can cause your zinc to sink? Well, if you are a strict vegetarian and you omit all animal foods, that's meat, eggs, milk, cheese, then you're going to run the risk of a zinc depletion unless you get it another way. So vegetarians tend to eat more grains, which also will block their zinc absorption. If you drink alcohol above moderation, well, it interferes with the absorption of zinc and will accelerate your zinc loss through the urine. Pregnancy and breastfeeding can lower the zinc nutrient in women, and they need to take care to replenish that through supplementation. Also, the elderly tend to be low in zinc due to poor eating habits, limited budgets, and living alone, and they don't bother to cook for themselves. So be aware of that if you have elderly that you are really wanting to take care of. So zinc is very important for all living things, and it's in the soil and becomes zinc. If your soil becomes zinc deficient, well, it creates crop failure. So that's important for crops. Currently, it's estimated that in the United States and in many other countries, there's a 30% loss of zinc in your rice, your wheat, and your corn crops. I think it's higher. I think it's more 50%, but that was one report. Let's look at some of the medications that can deplete your zinc. Several meds, over-the-counter drugs that can, you know, strip the zinc from the body. So if you take prescription diuretics, which cause the body to void out more minerals, including your zinc, be aware of that. If you take antacids that reduce the zinc, anti-inflammatory meds like prednisone, hydrocortisones, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory meds, they also deplete zinc. Anticonvulsants do deplete zinc. Birth control drugs, cardiovascular drugs, and ulcer drugs. So drug companies are really not required to do nutrient depletion studies on their products. So it's a shame, really, that millions of people are experiencing drug-induced nutrient depletion, and the medical establishment tends to ignore most of it. So be very careful if you're selecting the right multivitamin, as more supplement companies are being bought out by pharmaceuticals. So you want to look for a whole food supplement, like we were talking about, Frank, made with organic nutrients, which are not missing any of the photochemicals that are put there by God, so that it's a balanced chemistry and the body actually doesn't require mega doses when you have an organic balanced form of your nutrition. What happens if you get too much zinc? Let's say you overdid it. Well, it's pretty hard to actually overdose on zinc, but if you think you have too much zinc, you wonder if you have some symptoms. Well, vomiting would be one, and diarrhea is another one. If you have too much zinc, if you're taking high doses of a zinc supplement. So too much zinc can also produce a copper deficiency in your body, so you want to be careful. And you need copper to protect your bones, your hemoglobin of your blood, your red blood cells, and your skin. So try not to overdo the supplement there. So here's some foods that are high in zinc that you may be able to pepper into the diet. Here is highest zinc nutrition you'll find in oysters and wheat germ, beef, turkey, crab, liver, cheese, pumpkin seeds, squash, beans, nuts, fish, and eggs. So those are the ones that are really going to give you a lot of natural whole food zinc. Some of the herbs, if you want to take a supplementation of an herb that has zinc in it, I love to look at herb profiles and see what I'm getting. Most of us really don't have time to make a lot of well-prepared meals these days. So modern living has a majority of people, on supplements to make up for it. So be careful what you're eating and what you're supplementing with. So here are some of the things. You want to be careful also in your supplements. You don't want synthetic versions, and you don't want a lot of fillers in your supplements. But here's the list that will help with the zinc built into your plant. Bilberry, skullcap, capsicum, that's your hot peppers, you know, your habaneros and jalapenos. Sage, pennyroyal, wild jam, spirulina algae, your blue-green algaes, chickweed, your echinacea root, which is an immune enhancement herb, astragalus root, also for immunity, nettle, parsley, Siberian ginseng, and daltz seaweed. So those are all really great, very accessible foods to get, or medicinals, and they're whole food-based. So there are also some spices that are going to be high in your zinc as well. You can put them on your list. Higher concentrations listed are going to be your poppy seeds, cardamom, basil, celery seed, thyme, mustard seed, caraway seeds, anise, dill seed, cumin, coriander, sage, turmeric, paprika, your chilies, curry, onions, tarragon, fennel, and ginger. All going to be lovely zinc providing nutrition. Some other benefits. Zinc is also offers you some protection against one of the most deadly diseases of modern civilization, cancer. How does it do that? Well, zinc assists the immune system to keep cancer cells from spreading. Yeah. And you know what? Modern medicine knows that. Yeah. If I can find it in the journal articles, doctors can find it. And science already produced the research, so hello. Now, the human body depends on zinc. It's important for enzyme and metabolism function. So without your zinc for enzyme action, you're going to have low energy, poor digestion, a weak immune system. So men need zinc for healthy prostates. Teenagers need zinc for proper sexual development and to help them complete puberty. So our system also needs zinc to help detoxify the body. Too many toxins, not good for you. So you want to get a whole food zinc supplement. Some of the herbs that I like that are going to be high in zinc, again, are your immune support herbs. And if you're at thepowerherbs.com, they got a whole slew of immune support stuff. Your immune booster is there, Echinacea Deluxe for upper head sinus issues. They have the female formulas for adjusting the endocrine system for hormone balancing, so your body makes the right amount of hormones for you. They have a prostate kit for the guys that have natural zinc in it. They also have the male hormone formula there. Astragalus root's another immune support herbs, and they have the ginsengs there. Their heart formula, their emotional stress, they have thyme tincture, fennel, ginger root, They have a digestion kit and, of course, the blue-green algae in their body food mix. So you've got Zinc Central right there. They also have a cold and flu pack. That's what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Foods with zinc or herbs with zinc. So you have power. God's provided it. We got to praise His holy and righteous name every day, all the time for that. So if you're worried about things that may be in the air this year, floating around, mutated or not, they're not going to be resistant to your healthy immune system. Yeah. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. Thepowerherbs.com is empowering. Get a free catalog. Check it out. All right. We got a few minutes, and you know what? It's going to be raining more. The weather is going to shift. We're going to get, you know, cooler temperatures, which everybody's going, yes! And people, there's a lot of people that like fall, and I understand. But once you get the rain and you get the leaves coming off the trees, you get a little bit of mold and mildew going, people start to get colds and flu bugs. I see a lot of sinusitis starting around now, moving in October. So sinus infections are, well, they're not good. We're going to talk about how we can avoid them. So sinusitis is medicinally and medically defined as inflammation of the paranasal sinus cavity. So we're told that, you know, sinus infections, they're often due to a bacterial or viral infection associated with maybe an allergy or immune system dysfunction of some kind. I've often talked about sinus issues here, mentioning your modern medicine thought it was due to inflamed tissue in the sinuses, only to discover decades later it was the mucus that was the problem. And if you know anything about your mucus function of the body, it's a defense mechanism of the immune system. So it senses there's a pathogen infection, and it releases mucus to encapsulate it, to keep it from spreading. It's our job to get the mucus out of the body. But medicine ignored the mucus. They were just more interested in inflamed sinus tissue. So what has science really discovered now is that often painful, expensive, and debilitating conditions with sinus scraping and all those things that they put people through really didn't cure them of chronic sinusitis. And sinusitis affects 29.4 million Americans. That's a lot of money for nonsense going to, you know, antibiotics and stuff. Let's look at acute sinus problems. According to the National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health, acute sinusitis is the second most common infection that the general practitioners tend to treat. How do you know if you have a sinus infection and if it's classified as acute? Well, according to the medical science, if you have recurrent infections three or more per year, or if you have an infection that persists more than 3 months, well, hello, you have an acute condition. So we're told that the sinus infection is usually caused by the same virus that is responsible for the common cold. Bacterial infection and the sinusitis also occur in acute cases and usually produces no fever. Now, in North American and then European areas, over 90% of people who are diagnosed with sinusitis at their doctor's office receive a prescription for an antibiotic. However, more than a few recent studies have shown that kind of treatment does not shorten the duration of the illness, and the sinus infections run their course for about 7 to 10 days. Well, let's look at the Cochrane Database System Review. They said, in our systematic review, we found that for acute upper respiratory tract infections the use of delayed prescriptions did not result in patient harm. And it actually reduced antibiotic use. And one of the trials reviewed was for acute sinusitis. Delaying the antibiotic prescription made really no difference in the outcome. So the people got over it by themselves. The antibiotic really did very little. Well, let's look at the associations here. This is in 2016. The National Cancer Institute Bethesda, Maryland reported that there seemed to be an association between chronic sinusitis and neck cancer, especially in the older population. So Dr. Eric Ingalls, he's an ENT, he found that older females, especially who had chronic sinusitis, were prone to larynx or throat cancers, also called nasal cavity and paranasal sinus cancer. So patients often show signs of the cancer complication within 1 to 8 years of a diagnosis of acute sinusitis. And this research did get published in the September 2016 Journal of the American Medical Association, Otolaryngitis Head and Neck Surgery. All right, here's a quote from Dr. Ingalls. He said, despite the fact that people with chronic sinusitis have an increased risk of certain types of upper head cancers, their absolute risk is, in my opinion, low. There are currently no guidelines for screening. And we just did a screening study report. Screenings really don't really do much. And here's something that was interesting. This is Georgetown University Medical Center in 2008. They reported that people with sinus infections suffer pain similar to the elderly that suffer from arthritis and depression. So they said sinusitis equals feeling old. Feeling old. According to the report, about 14% of patients with acute sinus infection said they had body pain. They felt like an 80-year-old person. And here's why. Chronic sinusitis can often be accompanied with other conditions like arthritis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. And by the way, if you have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, those two conditions tend to be sister conditions. You start out with the chronic fatigue, and if you don't correct it, you'll get fibromyalgia. And both of them are said to have been linked to a chronic condition in the digestive tract, which is an overgrowth of yeast. So you correct the overgrowth of yeast, and guess what you get? You correct the other two things. So chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia are fixable, is the point. I worked for a neurologist center, and they had a pain center in their suite there. And these people came so faithfully for their injections for pain, chronic pain, the fibromyalgia and all this stuff. And I'm like, they never got any better. They came for injections, so they had a little bit of relief. But, you know, there was nothing that addressed the cause of the problem. Here is what Dr. Alexander Chester, he's an internist with Georgetown University Medical Center, he says, we found that the daily experience of bodily pain was much more common in patients with sinusitis than in the overall population. So basically we have a system, a healthcare system, I think that's good for trauma care. Yes. I think antibiotics have helped people, you know, somewhat. But they've also created superbugs. And now we're in a worse predicament than we were to begin with bacterial infections. So what was the cost? And most people, when they go to their doctor with a sinus infection, they want an antibiotic. And here's what Dr. Rosenfeld, he's a Richard Rosenfeld with Sunny Downstate Medical Center. He's a ENT specialist department of ENT, and he said people with sinus infections tend to have systemic pain, and to minimize, and his job, he says, is to minimize this antibiotic use. He said they did a study, and it didn't seem to matter if the infection was bacterial or viral in nature. So usually antibiotics, Frank, are only for, you know, bacterial, not viral. So according to Rosenfeld, he said over 90% of the patients have a viral sinus infection and antibiotics are of no use. And medicine is saying that a mere 0.5% to 2.0% of sinus infections are really due to a bacterial infection. So this seems to suggest your modern medicine has been prescribing medications for the wrong condition and increasing the risk of other clinical conditions, which is technically malpractice. So why do doctors do that if they know 84% to 91% of the sinus infections are really a viral infection? Well, according to Rosenfeld, there are several reasons. Patient expectations is up at the top of the list. They say they are paying for this visit and they expect a medication. Also, emergency departments are busy, and so are outpatient practices, and they really don't have time to check for bacterial infections, and they have to move the patients out as fast as they can. So it's time and people's expectations. And the same thing with ear infections, Frank. You know, if you bring a kid in to the pediatric office and they have an ear infection, they don't know if it's viral or bacterial. And so they automatically put the kid on an antibiotic without checking. And because it's a pain in the rear to check for a bacterial infection. They would have to take a syringe and put it in the ear and suck up some of the fluid behind the eardrum and then send it off to be analyzed to see if it's bacterial or not. And that could take a while if they don't have a lab right there in the office, which most of them don't. And so people come in there with a screaming kid, right? And they want relief. And they want something to give the kid. Well, Rosenfeld goes on. He says, more doctors are approaching sinus infections a little differently by educating the patient to make a shared decision, you know. So patients are told, you know, take Tylenol for the pain and inflammation, saline, nasal sprays, get rest, drink plenty of water. If a condition gets worse, give us a call. Rosenfeld said that some physicians will write them an antibiotic prescription to use only if the condition worsens. And he says this gives the patient the feeling of safety. It's like a safety net to go along with the wait-and-see approach. And his research did get published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2016. Okay, but there's herbs. Okay, so like you got the mucus. Remember what the mucus is doing. It's encapsulating the infection, bacterial or viral, whichever. And it's our job to get the mucus out. But you're so stuffed, you can't even breathe. Oh, it's so painful, right? So uncomfortable. So what I like to do is use an immune support herb like echinacea, but I want to power it up with a cayenne because cayenne moves blood, moves mucus. So you want an exodus of mucus coming out of that sinus cavity. Because if you don't move it out, you can run the risk of it dripping down the back of your throat, especially when you're sleeping, and then you got bronchitis. So Echinacea Deluxe, thepowerherbs.com, it is under your immune system tab. Great for sinus issues. Another little layering I may use is also on the website. It's Taifu oil. It helps reduce the swelling of the airway and disinfect the airway. So it's kind of a nice layering, and it also helps you sleep better. So both are up there at thepowerherbs.com. So look for Echinacea Deluxe and the Taifu oil. You should have that ready to roll at any time, especially with the holidays coming up. You don't want to be sick. Another thing you might want to have if you're prone to the bronchitis issue, too, is the pneumonia kit. Get the pneumonia kit, get some Taifu, have it in the cabinet, the medicine cabinet, and have it ready to go, and you will sidestep a lot of problems. Take it at the first symptom of pressure. Oh, along in this, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.